Hello, friends. Welcome to this week's episode of the Empowered Together Network. I'm Hope Katz-Gibbs, co-founder of the network and producer and host of this show. I am so thrilled to be here with strategic marketing consultant, content creator, and data analyst, Kyleen Key. So we met at a networking event, the Women of Color Retail Alliance here in DC, and because she works for LinkedIn, and she told me that over drinks, and we were like, oh my God, I need some help. So we got to be friends and have been talking, and now she is a member of the Empowered Together Network, which is super cool. Let me tell you a little bit about her. She is, as I said, a strategic marketing consultant, content creator, data analyst with 7 years of experience helping Fortune 500 brands optimize their digital presence. At LinkedIn, she advises top companies on B2B marketing, data storytelling, and campaign strategy. Today, she also focuses on empowering women-led businesses to grow their impact through LinkedIn and social media. Outside of work, she creates content on YouTube, where she's built an engaging audience with more than 25,000 subscribers. She's currently based in Maryland and enjoys green tea, long walks, video games, and yoga. Welcome, welcome, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me here, Hope. And yeah, it was an absolute pleasure meeting you at that networking event. It'd been the first time that I had gone down to DC in a long time, and meeting you there honestly was so much fun. And in the conversations that we've had afterwards, just talking to you about the network and the vision that you have for the network has been honestly like such a great experience. And I'm really excited today to be here, talk about a few things about me, about maybe a few things that people should know, and just, you know, generally be a part of all the great work that you're doing. So thank you so much.
Well, thank you. Growing women's power internally, externally, and then having you teach a class on the Empowered Together Network, which we will be rolling out later in 2025. So you have so much to teach us. And today we are going to talk a lot about what you've done, what you do, and what you know. So tell us a little bit more about your background and current work.
Yeah. So, I guess going back a little bit. So I come from an immigrant family. My parents are from China. I was born in America, but you know, very much kind of that typical story where there's an emphasis a lot on like education and achievements and doing very well for yourself professionally. So obviously I did all the quote unquote the right things and, you know, went to college, went to grad school. And after a couple of jobs, I eventually landed where I'm at right now, which is at LinkedIn. And specifically, I work within their marketing solutions business. So basically working with people that advertise on the platform. And so a lot of what I do involves consulting these companies, as well as something that's become increasingly popular is like people that want to become thought leaders, so like individuals on the platform as well, on how to optimize their presence on LinkedIn. And so professionally, the work I do is really interesting and strategic because it's kind of at that intersection of like data, but also telling a story with that data. And it really can be anything from like how these people can best reach their audiences with the right message in order to get a member on LinkedIn to take action. Or, you know, it can be about like, who should they be reaching and how often and, you know, things along that nature, like very, very marketing focused, obviously. And so, you know, especially with one of the things I wanted to talk about a little bit as well is that one of the things that's become really hot this past year with all of the tech clients that I've been working with, obviously has been, AI. And so throughout my work, what I've noticed is that all throughout this past maybe just year or so, I've been increasingly asked by all these companies on like, what's the best way to market these brand new AI-driven products that they're building and are now hitting the shelves? Or what's the best way to integrate AI into the current way that we're doing marketing to make it more optimal and efficient? And so part of, I think, what I've been struggling with a little bit from like that professional career side is like in like, how do I act like ethically within the process of also promoting, kind of being complicit with these companies that are promoting AI, which is kind of fundamentally like doesn't really go along with my values. But I'll get more into that maybe in like a further question. And then like you kind of mentioned before, at the same time, the one thing I do like that's totally unrelated to everything I just talked about is that I run my own YouTube channel on something like that's not professional. Well, not prof I say not professional. It's about video games. So I talk a lot about different aspects of video games that I find really interesting. And I say not kind of professional, kind of not professional because it's this thing I feel like, especially among older generations, where there's this stigma where video games are kind of more so for kids. But at this point, I truly believe video games are really just like any other form of entertainment. In fact, I think the combined market capita of the video game industry is actually greater than the movie industry at this point. So at this point, they're pretty much, it's just another form of very interactive entertainment that's out there. But I started my channel a couple of years ago, and like you mentioned, I've grown it to 25K subscribers-ish, and that's taught me a lot about, separate from my professional identity, like how to truly build a community among like being yourself and how that doesn't have to be like what's traditionally thought of as professional. So, sorry, I know that was a lot, but I feel like I had different aspects of my identity to cover all in one, so.
I love it. Yes, everyone has multifacets to their lives. And I love what you said about AI and it being an ethical dilemma. I don't have an ethical dilemma about it. I really think it only should be used as a tool and not a replacement for humanity. As a journalist, my ex-husband is a brilliant illustrator and designer. My daughter's a photographer and videographer. My son's an architect. We all use AI like Grammarly. Yes, show me where to put the commas. And if that word needs to be hyphenated, I'm in. But to write my stuff, no, absolutely zero. And I work with a profession and what a trade organization is, higher ed is one of my clients. And we have this conversation all the time. And as are all higher ed organizations talking about, kids kind of skating through, not doing the work. So how does that play out? So okay, AI writes their stuff. Does AI write their jobs? Is this the future where no one's thinking? So tell me about your ethical dilemma, in your career advising brands who use AI.
Yeah, it's really interesting you mention like all the different use cases of AI there because I don't think, AI, the term AI is so nebulous and so undefined, right? So it can mean a number of different things, and I'm not sure I have, the proper technical expertise and background to be able to explain that, but there is an amazing podcast that I watched recently with a woman called Karen Howe, and she really dives a lot more into like the technical details of like how the term AI came to be, what are the different terms of AI, yada yada, and so on. She really goes into the nitty-gritty details, so highly recommend checking that out. But basically, AI, from how I understand it, is like this catch-all term for anything that really kind of like has to do with a concept called machine learning. And I kind of learned a little bit about this in my graduate degree. But anyways, going back to your point is that like, in AI, there's this concept called generative AI, I guess, or like where basically what a lot of tech companies are trying to get to right now is this idea of like having an AI human, right? Or an AI assistant that can do a bunch of things for you. Whereas like there's a lot of other applications for AI as well that could be in things like, for example, like using AI to detect patterns and pictures that you're seeing in order to detect cancer, right? So there's for sure, there are so many great uses for AI that are out there. But what I'm really referring to when I kind of talk about AI is like that very nebulous sense that like these businesses have where they're like, oh, we need to get on AI because all of our other competitors are talking about AI and how they're using this term essentially. And if we're not doing it, then we're going to fall behind, right? And also the way I'm referring to is like using AI essentially to think as you. Like to make up for things that humans really should be doing. So, like you mentioned, like writing essays or I don't know, like creating images or drawing or painting and things like that. But anyways, going back to the ethical dilemma, sorry, that was a bit of a
No, you're
soapbox.
perfect. Keep going.
But you know, having been working with all these companies now, like I mentioned, there's really no official definition of what it is. There's really just a bunch of companies who are trying to hop on the trend to kind of own this topic, in order to kind of not fall behind all the rest of the companies. But in that process, they're not realizing that there are so many ramifications to society that are happening because everybody is like so laser focused on this topic. So obviously there's the, like you kind of referred to, like there's the societal impact that's not even really fully understood at this moment, where people are relying on these, you know, language models to think for them. There's also what's not talked about a lot is like the huge environmental impact of like creating these huge data centers essentially that need tons and tons of fresh water and lead to a lot of air pollutions. Like Karen, how she brought up an example where right now Elon Musk is trying to build this huge data center in Memphis, Tennessee, and essentially he like totally rolled over the local regulations and laws in that area to be able to do that. So he's just basically doing whatever he wants within that process of destroying the environment and building these centers for himself. And then from like a very personal standpoint as well, now there's AI that's being used to justify cost-cutting measures, laying tons of people out of work. Like, I don't know the exact number, but I think there's some like 600,000 people in the tech industry that have been put out of work just in the past year or so related to like AI related efficiency cuts. And so like my manager just got laid off in the latest round of Microsoft cuts. Another manager that I knew was also cut out, and you know, thank God my job is safe as well. My job is safe, but like obviously it's not great for all the people that are left behind as well. Because we have to kind of deal with that knowing like we could be next. So not to be overly negative about AI, right? Because like I mentioned, there are some benefits to doing to using AI, but with everything going on, it's just such a misalignment with my values that I've really been doing a lot more thinking about what it would be like to build a career that has more of that autonomy with what I actually want to do, that has that alignment with my values, and then figuring out like what it even is, like we as individuals can do in today's day in society to push back against that sort of thing. So that's kind of what I've been grappling with. And then YouTube has been great because that's kind of allowed me to express that individualism in some way, but it doesn't really necessarily fulfill that need of like making a big change in the world, right? So anyways, that's where I'm at right now.
I don't know, sweetie. I think that is the change we wish to see. And this idea that, I'm an entrepreneur and always have been. It's built into you, right? It's not something you can learn, I don't think. It has to be modeled for you. And my parents did model that for me. And so I try to model it for my children, especially. So speaking of which, my son's master thesis, he just graduated from Harvard's, GSD, the Graduate School of Design. So he's an architect. And his thesis was on how to humanize data centers. I am initially asked, yes. And so he did a deep, deep dive. So many students that he was a TA to showed up to help him build this like 50-foot example. He went to Akron, Ohio to interview the mayor. That's a big data center hub. And I drove him around Northern Virginia because in Loudoun County, there's tons of data centers, right? And it is this environmental suck. And, Musk seems to have this idea that people are irrelevant, right? And ex machine, ex machina, right? This is like this whole thing that we are useless. And so that's something that we should all be ethically grappling with. And people who are creative realize the danger in this because not because we're competing with, people that like don't have it and now they suddenly are creative. I have a good friend who wrote a book in 24 hours. He didn't write a book. He put stuff into ChatGPT and the vet wrote a book and he asked me to help him promote it. And I'm like, no, that's not, I mean, someone else will, you can promote it yourself, but it's because Elaine's Literary Salon is one of my huge clients. I just collaborated with Jeffrey James Higgins, who's a thriller novelist, a bestseller. And so we are talking about, he interviews tons of authors and it's from them. Like, these stories are from them. And so I would encourage you, just keep going, right? Just keep doing what you're doing, do your YouTube thing, and we will promote that. As original thought, is for until I stop taking my last breath, that is, I will promote original thought.
I very much appreciate that. And that's something like I see a lot in the content creation space. And I don't want to be overly critical, but one of the things that I really try to do in all the content that I create is make sure that there is, like, I'm going in and I'm verifying whatever I'm talking about. Like, I'm going into the game and actually looking at it myself and verifying that this information is correct. And all the content that I create, I try to make it as original as I possibly can, whether that be like in the topic I'm talking about or whether that be in the opinions that I'm forming about the games that I'm also talking about, right? So I always try to make sure there's some level of like authenticity to me that is in the content that I'm putting out. And where I see a lot of content, in my opinion, that doesn't necessarily do as well is like when you have people like basically trying to phone it in, right? And so no offense to your friend with the 24-hour book deal, but like, is that them trying to actually be an author or is that them trying to go for a cash grab, you know? And so when the medium that you're working on becomes a means to an end and the work itself is not the end itself, then that starts to become a bit of a problem, in my opinion.
Yeah, and in mine too, that's my question to him, what's your goal? What do
Right.
what and to anyone that's using somebody else besides themselves. Right. I mean, I have assistants, I have help, I have a team of people that work with me, but we're creating original content. Like we're using our own skills. And I love what you said about, what is it in you that's authentic and has integrity? Right. I mean, I talk about this all the time on these podcasts. Martha Beck is I did her life coach training because I love her. The Way of Integrity is her book. And that makes perfect sense to me and everyone else. So yeah, keep doing what you're doing. Now let's loop back around to LinkedIn. So how people brand themselves, this is actually related. Do you think everyone needs an online profile and what is the best way to do that?
Yeah, well, let me take a step back by saying like maybe if you're on the verge of retiring, or you're pretty much done with working very soon, maybe this doesn't necessarily apply. But I think if you're someone that's my age or you still have maybe a decade or so to go before you retire, you really should be branding yourself online. And I'm not saying this does like this has to be on LinkedIn in like a very professional, super professional kind of way. What I'm saying is like you need to be online and engaging in some sort of sphere where you're able to build a particular brand for yourself. And ideally, like this would also be like a brand that is like very authentic. It's aligned with who you are as a person. And also like hopefully it's not kind of like, 'cause I know some people online are kind of like trolls and stuff like that. That's not for me 'cause I like that's just not how my personality is, but I think it should ideally also be like a positive presence as well. And the reason I say this is not like for you to post just for the sake of posting, but if you're really able to build that community and carve out that community for yourself, you get a ton of benefits from it, but also protections, right? So, and what do I mean by protections? Like companies can clearly just lay you off whenever they want. Like there's absolutely zero consequences. Like if you're at will, like they can just get rid of you that day and they don't ever have to worry about paying you ever again. And especially after COVID, I think this became even more so of a problem. But then, when you're building this kind of online presence, you're ideally, right, one, making very authentic connections and meeting great like-minded people who you want to mutually help each other out. But there's another aspect of where you want to brand build in order to protect yourself against the power that these corporations have over you, right? Because if you build your own resources and brand and assets, then you have the ability to walk away whenever you want. Or if you do walk away, like, and you want to stay in, like, you can always find another job much more easily. You can command more of a salary and, like, negotiate more of a salary when you do decide to go to another employer. But the main difference between, like, us brand building and companies brand building is that, unlike these huge CEOs and companies that have so much control over our lives, when we have this power, we can choose to use it for good. We can choose not to use the power at all. But either way, when we have that power, we have the ability to choose for ourselves. Whereas if we don't have it, then we just have to take whatever they dish out, right? And so obviously there's a lot of power in the individual, but also there's a lot of power in the collective as well. I don't want to discredit that, like, and what we're doing with building the network, like, multiple people's voices together is always stronger than just one person's individually. But as much as you can build yourself up, right, you can also build up other people with you. So I very much like, we need to be online and we need to be like talking about the things that are important to us, because if we do it, then everyone else will also come up with us.
Oh gosh, I love that. I love that you said that and that you feel that way. The 3.5% rule, like that percentage of the country can take the country back. So that's what I'm hoping for. I think I mentioned to you offline that when I turned 61 last week on July 8th, that I woke
Oh,
up and
happy
said,
birthday.
yeah, that this is going forward, this is about joy. And there is so much darkness out there, but we will come together collectively and create joy, because that collective conscience is the power, right? And the more amazing people in your age range and mine and in between and younger and older, we know what's right, and kindness, all the things about love and peace and international acceptance, right? We talked about that before we started recording, that how amazing is it that my son, at Harvard, worked with all these students from China, so many of them, and they were like up with him all night, working with him, and now they're potentially deported. I mean, it's a catastrophe beyond belief. And it was very much at Harvard's graduation talking about this tragedy that's afoot. And so I love that you're out there, that you're at LinkedIn for, hopefully for as long as you want to be. But I also love what you said about, taking it back. Setting it out there so that you have you power to the people, right?
No, 100%. Like, we as individuals, I can't, to some extent, I can only change what is within my control, right? But what I can control is like how I'm showing up in the world. And so by building this like authentic community, like that's one of the ways in which I show up, right? And I show up as myself, and not as like anyone else, or like for the purposes of like trying to get popular or get subscribers, which there's nothing inherently wrong with that, but that's just not how, like, that's not my goal with my YouTube channel, right? But obviously, the more people that subscribe, like, that's also, I'm not gonna lie, it is a little bit flattering at the same time. Like, you love seeing the numbers go up, but I mean, that's not why fundamentally I do this. Otherwise, there's so many other things that I could be doing with my life that are way easier. Like, I don't know, pushing out AI generated videos about sob stories or something like that. Like, I've seen so many of those recently. I don't know if you have, but like, it's about like these like AI dog generated videos on like YouTube shorts where it like, there was a dog and he was like drowned. Anyways, I was like, what am I looking at? Like, I don't know who's consuming this content, but that video had millions of views, so
Well,
it's
I find
crazy.
that horrifying. But I didn't understand the Kardashians. I don't understand a lot of things. So,
Yeah, no, that's fair.
we just have to do what we know is right, right? I mean, National Treasure is one of my favorite movies, you know, where,
That's
do you know
so
this movie,
fun.
right? Where, he's at the Library of Congress and he's like, what they did, I'm not going to get this exactly right, but, they did what they knew was right despite the consequences. And that's what we're doing. So tell me why you want to join the Empowered Together Network and bring more people to, with us.
For sure. I feel like, my idea of success has really changed over time, and just being out here in the world that we are today, I feel like it has inevitably shifted just with how the world has been shifting around me. So right now, really, my idea of success and what I'm trying to build is all about alignment. Like, am I using my skills and my energy in a way that feels fulfilling? Do I have that space to be creative? And am I growing? And so I want my success to really feel sustainable and where I can use what I learned to help the others around me. And so with the network in particular, I'm really looking for a place where, I can have these conversations about real issues and about, all the messiness that just kind of happens in between careers and life and just navigating the world as human beings right now. So, thank you again so much for having me. This is great.
Oh my gosh, thank you. It's so much fun. And you talked to me a little bit about wanting to come together in person. So I think you've inspired me. So let's bring a bunch of people together in DC and you lead the conversation. And then we're going to do this around the country, right? All right, we'll talk more about that.
All right.
Kylene is going to be doing lots of stuff with us. She is going to be teaching us about marketing and online and how we can get out there, and also video games. You're going to have to bring that to the party.
I'll figure out a way. It'll have to be a creative transition, that's for
That's
sure.
okay, as long as it's you and not AI. All
Fair
right,
enough, fair
then.
enough.
Thank you so much for watching episode 11 of the Empowered Together Network show. I'm Hope Ketzke, very, very proud producer and co-host and co-creator of this with my amazing friends, Cynthia DeLorenzi, Alina Z, and in Canada, Eva Ross. All right. Thank you all. We'll talk to you next time. Thank you so much, Kylene.
Thank you.